So when I was a little boy, I had a dream. And it's not the Martin Luther King Jr. kind of dream. But I had a dream, and it was scary, and it was vivid, and I can recall it, what I think was the original dream, lo, these many, many, many years after. I was in a room, and there was an old breaker box on the wall, a little flat panel, and there was a switch in it. And somehow, in the dream, I knew that my father had told me not to flip that switch. Don't touch that switch. Don't touch the switch. But I did. I went over to the box and flipped the switch, and I immediately ran to a corner of the room and fell down with my legs withered and curled up. Oh, yeah. Then my dad comes into the room and says, "Oh, Owen, you've ruined yourself." That will stick with a kid. Yeah, I was about 7 or 8, I think. I wish I could say that this dream instructed me powerfully, and I have not flipped a metaphorical switch since then. But I have. And I tell you the story, maybe because you've had a similar, if not dream, a similar experience. And that may connect with today's scriptures for you, because yes, I have a lot to choose from from here. So I'm just going with this one though. So here's a question. When folks complain, church folk complain about the Old Testament, and you've heard it, you've heard complaints about the Old Testament, what is a typical complaint? Anyone? The violence. God is so harsh. What? It feels like, seems like a different God. Yeah. Feels like it's less about grace and more about judgment. Yeah. What's that? A lot of rules. A whole lot of rules. A lot of killing. Violence. Killing. Yeah. Anything else? List. Yes. Yeah. Whether we talk about what happened in the Old Testament, like in Eden, what happened there, or with Noah, or Abraham, or Joseph, or Moses, and all that came along, especially after Moses with all the laws and everything else, these stories and these accounts are actually, despite their unpleasant appearance, are actually about God's protection and provision of his people. Now, it comes to us in a really rough and tumble, again, often unpleasant way. But God's love for his people is at the root of the Old Testament. And I would say God's love for all people is at the root of the Old Testament. Bless the Amalekites' hearts. They're always getting slaughtered in round numbers. And so the Old, like the New Testament, is a testimony of God's love, even though it feels a lot harder to see, especially in contrast with the lavishing of love that God does, that we see so plainly pointed out to us in the New Testament, though it has its own violence and its own what to do and what not to do's. The commandments that Dwayne read through this morning are not just a list of do's and don'ts, but they are actually a path, a way of living that gives us a good life. It's a good way to follow. And it often results, if you do these things and don't do these other things, you'll have a life of contentment. Now, into that contentment, there will be heartache, and there will be grief, and there will be difficulties, and there will be seasons of ugh. But they are meant, each of them, to protect and provide for us. And that's kind of a key thing I'd like to help you have as a tool that I've carried around for quite some time now, that anytime I see a law of God, and I just think, oh my gosh, why did he tell them to do that or not to do that? The way I go at it, like sort of a tool to investigate it is, well, how does this provide and how does this protect? So any law you look at in the Old Testament or commandment or, you know, do this, don't do that, it will always have in its basis, baked in, a provision and a protection is the reason God gave it. So with the Ten Commandments, name one. And let's investigate that. Anybody? So we'll start with steal right here. How does not stealing protect and provide? And we can look at both parties that would, when that would happen with stealing. How does it protect someone? They won't go to jail. Yeah, they won't have their hand cut off. And what? Oh, yeah. See you, David. Do you see any other protections or provisions in that? They've all run amok over there. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, there are. It's okay. Yeah. It definitely provides and protects for the would-be stolen from party. Yeah. What was another one? Another law? Leanne, what was that? You should not murder, it actually says. Yeah. So there is a difference. Yeah, you shall not murder. And well, that one seems pretty obvious in the same way that the would-have-been-murdered party is protected and provided for by following that rule generally in a society. How does it affect the person who a would-be perpetrator of murder? Yes. Yes. That's always an element with the negative, don't do this commands. Because God knows that it's something that will damage your soul. Some things that people do, I don't want to elaborate, but they're actually soul crushing, crippling. We think of the victim, and we should, and rightly so, when we're seeking justice. But the perpetrator is often damaged desperately. We don't know what to do about that because we're into vengeance and retribution and justice for the victim. But it hurts all the way around. Another command, any from Old Testament. What?
Covetousness.
Covetousness. How does that protect us? And how does that provide for us? When we're wanting other people's stuff. Yeah. You're never going to be satisfied by coveting. It's not going to work in your favor. Even if you eventually get the stuff, you scheme and connive your way, it's not going to get there. It's not going to satisfy that because that's actually carving a bad place in your soul. So there's so many of these. So when think kindly about Old Testament laws and commandments, at least until you've had time to kind of use those tools of, well, who's this protecting and how's it providing for? Those are really good questions to ask when we see what looks like an obtuse law. And then listen to these verses from today's psalm. Oh, that my people would listen to me. that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies, protect. I would feed you with the finest of wheat, provide. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. Or the reminder that was in the provision of today's gospel lesson, when Jesus was going through the grain fields and his disciples walked along, they began to pick some of the grains of wheat and eat them, and the Pharisees said, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath, right? Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The purpose of Sabbath is to provide and to protect. And in this instance, since they were with the Lord of the Sabbath, it was perfectly fine for them to do as, you know, eat. I don't know how good eating green wheat is in the fields, but yeah, I guess something like that. I can picture it, just a long straw with little wheat grains chewing on it as they go. So, please hold on to that God's laws, any of them that you think of, and we should try to think of them often. We should think of them as often as the state of Louisiana is trying to get people to think of them. We should, as his followers, we should do that. And to think of them always with, Lord, how will you provide for me in this? If I go with what you say, how will you protect me? And it's there. It's always in there. Then the second thing I kind of wanted to talk about was this line in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 12, which Dwayne read. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. That is such a potent phrase for me. Don't lose heart. We do not lose heart. When you think of losing heart, I mean, what does that phrase make you think of? Don't lose heart. Anyone? Don't give up. Yeah, and let's think about the heart part. And yeah, definitely don't give up. But don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Yeah. It's not just the quitting that we might be tempted to do, but it's all that would come with that. Don't be discouraged. What else? What? Don't lose hope. Yeah, the things we associate with the heart, the good things, the compassion, the kindness, the love. What, Bruce? Don't give up on God. He's the one who holds and is forming your heart, often by his commands, if we'll pay attention to them, but also certainly by grace.
Losing heart would kind of be like your car losing its engine.
Wow. Yeah. Have you ever been around someone who just seems to have lost their heart? They've lost heart. Oh, what a miserable, miserable thing it is to do that. So I love that phrase. And then it goes on in that chapter, that 1 through 12 reading of 2 Corinthians 4. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. We refuse to practice cunning. And that it's referring also here to God's word, or to tamper with it. Yeah. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word. So what does that mean? Right, taking it out of context, using it the way you want to use it. What else? I'm sorry, Julie, what? Not changing it, not twisting it, not using some kind of special exegesis to get it to say what you want it to say. That's often called eisegesis instead of exegesis, because you start with what you want it to say first and then try and get it to conform to that through your cunning skills and knowledge about New Testament Greek or something. Yeah. Yeah. So here I think that just in this one verse, it's like, trust God's word as it is, as best you can understand it. And that means in community and with folks who know what they're talking about to help us all get there. So trust in God's word and don't lose heart. That the word of God, actually even all the commands and everything else that seems so sometimes hard in the Old Testament, as well as all the compassionate, beautiful things that we read in the New Testament that are so easily accessible to us, don't lose heart about them. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, and it will be for you like honey from the rock. It'll be for you like protection from your enemies, defeat for your foes. So what is keeping you, what is hindering you, this is where it gets personal, what's hindering you right now from growing in holiness, from growing in spiritual maturity? Maybe nothing. Maybe you're firing on all cylinders. You're doing great. You don't have to look into that, investigate it. But maybe you should, like I should, kind of examine. And we can do that on a daily basis, as in the examine. We can do it on a regular Sunday to Sunday basis, but to examine yourself, what is holding you back from growing in holiness and spiritual maturity? And you know, when I say holiness, it's not about that pious, unctuous sort of thing, right? It's not about being, a holy nose in the air. Yeah. It's about being fully alive. Really letting God's glory be apparent in you, which means being fully alive, as Irenaeus said in the second century, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. What's keeping you? Is it a sin? Is it the company that you keep that's holding you down in some ways? Is it spiritual sloth? Yeah. Is it being selfish in your relationships? Is it a fear of the future? And so you're just trying to anchor in and hold on to what you got. Is it a fear of aging? Do you long to believe boldly, but doubt is like a suffocating blanket? Are you bitter about something? Now, this is one of those that'll get you. If you're bitter about something and it's got to develop a stronghold in you spiritually, you are toast until that bitterness is rooted out. It really is hard to carry on a joyful, spiritual, fully alive to God and people life when you're harboring bitterness, even though it wasn't your fault. Whatever it was that made you bitter. So hear this good news. The Lord of the Sabbath offers you freedom from all these things. The Lord of the Sabbath, who created the Sabbath for our sakes, who commands us to do it for our provision and for our protection. The Lord of the Sabbath offers you freedom from all these things. In His laws, which protect and provide for you. In His grace, which gives you good things that you don't deserve. Don't lose heart about the goodness of God to be found in His word. Don't lose heart. Instead, know that the Lord of the Sabbath, He's got you covered. You walk in Him. You walk in that Sabbath reality that He provides and He protects. So at the end of my dream, after my dad had lamented over me, saying, "Oh, Owen, you've ruined yourself," he picked me up off the floor in his arms, and he held my withered little legs. And that's all I remember. That's it. Thus endeth the dream which Owen had that once upon a time. Now, my dad is a good, loving guy. He's a loving father. But it seems that he could not fix my legs or undo the harm that had been caused by my flipping that switch. But with our Heavenly Father, it's a different story, right? It's a different story. There's a phrase going around, and I don't know, it's not exactly, is it actually in Lord of the Rings? I can't remember, where Sam says something to the effect of, "Is everything bad going to come untrue?" What a day that will be. When not only will all things be well, but everything bad will come untrue. I believe that's why we don't lose heart. That's why we trust God's word, as we hang in there with those things. A little bit later in 2 Corinthians, in the same chapter, Paul says this: "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For our present struggles, this fading momentary affliction, is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." He is jealous for me. His love like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. Remember? When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us so. How He loves us so. How He loves us so. Heavenly Father, let's trust in Your word. Let's let it sink deep into us and have its way within us. It's unique power made alive by Your Holy Spirit to actually transform us, renewing our minds, refreshing our spirits, guiding us into the maturity of Jesus. Help us see Your love that is so rich. It's what we live and move and have our being in, and yet we can be blind to it as if it isn't there, but it always is. Gather us in Your arms, our own withered selves, and make us new, Lord Jesus. Remind us that we don't lose heart, that regardless of the fact that our bodies are wasting away in some way or another over time, You are with us. you are renewing us day by day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.